To talk about. You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Now, before we go anywhere else, I've got somebody hanging on the line here. Going to hear from him in just a second.
When you're out on a rave and some extremes, a smart fella gobbles for beans.
Pork and beans.
If your tummy starts to rumble, well, you know what that means. It's time to gobble some beans. Cheese.
Pork and beans.
Yes, folks, it's our own Gene Miller from Swiss America Trading with tonight's pork and beans. Good evening, Gene.
Are you trying to tell me I'm full of hot air, Bill?
No, I'm just playing around. You know, I've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm in the fun mood.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you. What's happening in the metal market?
Well, today was kind of just a lackluster day here on all the markets. Gold had a high of 391.20, a low of 389.30, to close at $390.30, down 90 cents. Silver had a high of 549, a low of 542, to close at 543, down 4 cents. Platinum had a high of 444.30. Low of $441 to close at $444.20, down 70 cents. And the Dow, as it reaches for the stars, had a high of 4558.80, and a low of 4541.9 to close at 4547.1, down 3.4. As far as the other things in the gold and silver market, generic $20 gold pieces, common date stuff, traditionally it softens up a little bit in the summer months. Those of you that are buying that stuff, this is a good time to put a little bit more in your portfolio. The summer months, dealers are usually looking to reduce that type of inventory, so they're willing to discount it. So check that out. Your better date $20 gold piece and stuff, because of it being a little bit more rare, those prices are continuing to either hold steady or go up. We have a new newsletter out. Came out a couple of weeks ago, and since it's been a couple of weeks, I haven't had a chance to tell you. But give us a call and get the new one that says The Plunging Dollar, Fact or Fiction. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what's going on with the dollar. The G7 met just this last weekend, finished up, and the headline for the outcome of the G7 meeting was the dollar will drop again. Well, guess what? I think they're probably right on that one. They couldn't come to any conclusive, agreement on how to save it. They're going to try, put Band-Aids here and there, but and try to cooperate in keeping the dollar from falling, but fact is it's fallen 15% against the yen just this year, almost 10% against the German mark, and people just aren't willing to hold on to all that debt anymore. So we got some information to give out to you all, you know, and we still have those economic solutions book. Give us a call. You ought to know our number by now, 1-800-289-2646 or 1-800-BUY-COIN, and give us a call. We'll get some information in your hands and answer your questions.
All right. I missed you, Gene.
Hey, I hope you had a good vacation.
Oh, I had a wonderful vacation. In fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about it tonight. And
heard that you did.
Yeah. First one in 6 years. I can't believe it. Now I know why people take vacations. I couldn't figure it out before.
What are they going out of town for? That's all we're talking about.
No, I was in the work groove, and that's where I stayed. But we're fixing to have that new baby, and after that baby's born, there's not going to be any vacation for quite a while. And Annie said, we're going on vacation. And if you don't want to go, I'm going. So we all went. Thanks, Gene.
Hey, you're welcome.
See you Monday night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on, hey baby, come on.
Come on, let's cruise, you got nothing to lose, so come on.
Feel safe, folks. First night back, the sheriff's out front, guarding the front door, and highway patrol's in the back, guarding the back door, and Wendy from L.A. is warming up the most comfortable chair in the house. And on my first night back, she's my live audience. Wasn't expecting that, but it's nice. Welcome, Wendy from Los Angeles. Hope you've enjoyed your afternoon. I've certainly enjoyed the last 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. I wasn't joking when I said that we haven't had a vacation in 6 years. We travel, that's true, but I've always been traveling to get somewhere to give a speech or do a workshop and or meet people or do an investigation and then get back here, and we were always pressed for time, and I got to tell you, it was never a vacation. Twice during those 6 years when we took trips to speak in Los Angeles, we did take one day to take Pooh to Disneyland on two of those trips. And that's not fun, at least not for me. That's work. You ever follow a little girl around Disneyland all day long, and she's got 27 times more energy than anybody else there? That's work, I got to tell you. Well, this trip, we headed out, took some of the old Route 66, which I remember as a boy coming across when it was still the old real Route 66. And that brought back some memories. And just to get away from everything, we went up to the Pine Hills Lodge in Julian, California, just about 50 miles up in the mountains from San Diego. It's an old gold rush town when Southern California had a little gold rush up there. And the Pine Hills Lodge has no telephones and no televisions and no radios. And every morning you wake up to the birds singing and the squirrels chattering, and we spent 3 days there and finished up the last night with a dinner theater. Pine Hills Lodge is run by my friend David Goodman, and he produces one of the best theater shows in that I've ever seen off Broadway, or off the normal theater circuit. And all the actors and actresses come from the little town of Julian. And what we saw there was Lost. Yeah, the name of it was Lost in Yonkers. Had fantastic baby back pork ribs and watched Lost in Yonkers and laughed and had a great time with all those wonderful people, none of whom knew who I was, and I wasn't about to tell them. No telephone, no television, no radio. It was fantastic. And it took me about 3 days to wind down from what I normally do. And from there, we headed up Highway 15 to somewhere up there. We got on 49. I forget where. I think it's 15 to 5 to 99 or 90, something like that. And then we got on 49 and went up to Mariposa, which is part of the old Gold Rush country. And we were just sort of going back into history and forgetting about all the problems of this world and the modern age. And we even panned for gold. We went to the Little Valley Inn in Mariposa, right outside of Mariposa on Brooks. And Robert and Kay showed us how to pan for gold in their creek that ran by there, and we found a little bit. Not, you know, it's not going to make anybody rich. It might be $5 or $10 worth at the very most, and you could just see it in the bottom of this little vial of water, and wore ourselves out. Just had a wonderful time. Very quiet. Cleanest place I've ever stayed in my life. If you ever go up there, and it's right at the entrance to Yosemite. And while we stayed there at the Little Valley Inn, after we did one day of panning for gold, we spent the next 2 days in Yosemite National Park. And folks, if you've never been to Yosemite National Park, you've got to go. You just absolutely have to go. That is probably the most visually peaceful, spiritual, renewing place that I think I've ever been. It is just magnificent. There are no words to describe it. And never go on a weekend, never go on major holidays. We went during the week when there were not a lot of people there. And as long as you stay away from Yosemite Village, you won't run into a whole lot of people, and you'll find a parking place always, and you'll be able to do what you want to do. And I wish we'd had more time. I really do. And I really regret not having gone on vacation for all those years. I was so engrossed in all of this work and all of these things that, you know, to me it was just the most important thing in the world to try to wake up people and tell them what was really happening. So I neglected all of that. And I'm sorry that I did. Because now I feel so much better, so relaxed, and so at ease, and I really don't care right at this moment what's going on at all, to tell you the truth. But I've got to get back in the swing of things starting tomorrow morning. Actually, starting tonight. This is sort of a warm-up program. And from there, we drove over to Lake Tahoe through the mountains. And I don't know how many of you have noticed out there, but it just now became spring. They keep saying it's summer. But we drove through one of the worst snowstorms I've ever seen from between Mariposa and Lake Tahoe. The snow was falling so thick, and it was so cold, just bitter cold. And you could barely see the road. And they required chains, and of course, we had a four-wheel drive, so we didn't need chains, but everybody else did. And it was miserable. And it was cold. And there was deep snow falling everywhere. And, you know, even up in Julian when we were up there, it was really cold at night. We drove up to Tahoe, spent one night there, and then drove across the desert of Nevada down Highway 375 to the Little Ailey Inn, where we visited with Pat and Joe Travis for a couple of nights and renewed some old friendships and had a good time. And Joe said he'd been trying to get our program on satellite for a couple of years and never could do it. So I showed him how to do it, and that tickled him pink. And met some people who were just passing through that I didn't expect to see and hadn't seen in a long time. And no, folks, we did not go to Area 51. I didn't care about Area 51. I was there to see friends and relax. In fact, we went the opposite direction from the Little Alien Inn, and we went out in the desert, and we found a whole mountain of the most beautiful quartz crystal you've ever seen in your life. And we spent a whole day mining quartz crystals. And we've got some of the most beautiful crystals. Crystals that might cost you a couple $100 in a crystal shop somewhere. And a whole bunch of small ones that, you know, whatever. And it's just not what the value of them. It's just their beauty and the fact that we found them. We didn't go in a shop and buy them. And that, to me, was wonderful. And to see the look on little Pooh's face when she could just walk across the ground and just pick up crystals everywhere was worth more to me than the whole trip, the whole vacation. In fact, I spent an awful lot of time looking at Pooh's face while she was looking at something else, because that just makes me light up when I see her light up. And those of you who have children and really love your children, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. I thought we were in deep trouble when the day we left, I looked at Pooh and I said, "Where do you want to go?" Because we really didn't have any plans. We didn't know where we were going. We just really started driving. All I knew is I didn't want to see a telephone, a TV, or a radio. And Pooh said, "New York." And I knew she'd been talking to Sheldon Lieberman, who was here for the conference. And that really worried me, because if she pressed it and Annie said New York, then I would have had to drive to New York, and I certainly did not, in my wildest dreams, want to do that. So, we didn't. Now, I got to tell you a story, folks, just to let you know how bad things are getting across this country. Number one, most of the people that we met were all angry, and I mean really angry, over taxes. And talk about it everywhere. In restaurants, waiting in line to get some food at a Circle K, wherever we were at, people talked about taxes. They were angry about it. When we stayed at one place, let me tell you this. This is really the story of the Little Valley Inn in Mariposa. Kay and Robert bought this property, and it had a house on it. And they were going to fix this house up as a bed and breakfast, and then as they made money, they were going to make more little cabins on the property by the creek, which they did. And we stayed in one. It was just exquisite, just beautiful, clean, wonderful place. And when they got ready to open, of course, they had to be inspected, because California has all these rules and things, and especially up in the forest area. They had to be inspected. So the inspectors came in and said they could not open for business, that their septic was no good, and that they had to put in a whole new septic, and they condemned the property. Now, can you imagine this? Spending all the money for the property and for the house and getting it all ready, and you're ready to open for business, and you've been dreaming about this all your life. And there's a creek running through your property that's got gold in it. It's just a dream come true. And all of a sudden, this inspector shows up and says, "Nope, we're going to condemn your property. Your septic is no good, and you're ruining the environment." Get the picture? So they didn't know what to do. They started talking to contractors and taking bids, and then they found out that the septic was on the other side of the highway. And they had to get permission to go under the highway, and they had to pay people off and get permits, and it cost them almost $20,000 to fix that. Now, while they were doing it, it took months. While they were doing that, building supplies went up. So when they built the cabins down by the creek, it cost them approximately $10,000 or $12,000 more than what they had planned upon. In the meantime, they filed their income tax return and declared all this as business expenses. It was unforeseen, and it was business expenses as they were opening the Little Valley Inn for business. And the IRS said, "No, you cannot deduct these as business expenses because you were not open for business." Now, this hit them right between the eyes like a sledgehammer. And all of a sudden, the IRS wants $38,000 in taxes, including penalties and interest and all this kind of stuff. And they tried to tell them that they were a business and they had put all this money in there, invested it as a business. They were ready to open, and then all of these things happened. But the IRS says, no, you cannot do it. And there's only one way that you can. And that's if you amortize it over 29 years. Why they picked 29 years, I don't know. As the executive director of Pacific Coast Technical School in Anaheim, California, I was amortizing business expenses over 5 years. And I had no problems whatsoever doing that. So I sat down and talked to them and tried to give them a little guidance, letting them know that what I was giving them was not enough for them to really do anything with, but it would open their eyes and maybe help them start to look for other solutions. And I'm going to give them the phone number of some people who can help them and hope everything comes out all right. But if you'd like to help them and you're going to be traveling on vacation in California this summer and you go anywhere near Mariposa or Yosemite National Park, make sure you call the Little Valley Inn just outside Mariposa, California, and stay there. You'll love it. You'll absolutely love it. And they have three cottages, so to speak. Actually, it's one big cottage with three places in it. Two, like a regular hotel room, and then one with a kitchen. And just beautiful and wonderful. And I highly recommend it to anybody. Whether you want to help them out or not, if you want to help yourself out, have a great vacation, go stay there. And, of course, if you go up to the Pine Hills Lodge in Julian, California, near San Diego, say hello to David Goodman for me and make sure you don't miss the dinner theater. And, of course, if you're out in the desert of Nevada, anywhere near Groom Dry Lake, you might want to stop in and say hello to Pat and Joe Travis. And, by the way, we may be putting together some trips out there for the listeners of this broadcast who have never had a trip out there. And I sat down with Pat and Joe and got some very good rates for us, just specially for this broadcast. It includes meals and lodging. But we got to have 17 people, not including me, to be able to do this. So we'll talk about that on some later broadcast. And then, of course, Annie being Chinese and being afflicted with the Chinese love of gambling, we had to make a stop in Las Vegas, and we stayed at the MGM Grand, which, folks, I got to tell you, is excessive beyond belief. They have gone over the edge. This place is shopping mall, hotel, gambling casino, amusement park, Wizard of Oz place, magic show. I think there must be at least 7 or 8 restaurants in that place. They've got a youth center where children can go and play all day, and then, they can play for 5 hours, and then there's a mandatory 2-hour time they have to spend with their parents, and then they can go back and play for 5 more hours. And, this place is, it's over the edge. They have 33-acre amusement park in this place. And, of course, it's got all the symbolism there. If you've studied the Wizard of Oz, you know about all that stuff. If you know that Gorbachev and Presidio flies the green flag, the flag with the green cross on it. You know that Columbus, the first flag that he planted in the New World, was a flag with a green cross on it. The MGM Grand Hotel is a huge, gigantic green cross building from the air. It's a green cross. Huge. And, of course, it has the big lion looking directly at the Luxor, which is the source of light, which is just catty corner across the street on the next block. And we had a good time. And, of course, we paid our gambling taxes like everybody else does. I don't care who you are or how many times you go there or how lucky or not lucky you may be. Nobody ever wins when they gamble. Period. Doesn't happen. You may win $5,000, but I guarantee you, in the last 10 years, if you gamble, you've spent 20 or 25. And in the next 10 years, you're going to spend another $10,000 or $20,000 gambling if you gamble. Well, we don't, except on strange periods when we travel through such places. Annie likes to, and I'll sit there and play the slot machines, and that's what she does. And so we don't lose a lot, and occasionally we'll hit a jackpot, and $200 or $300 will pop out, and but you put it right back in. So we didn't bring anything from Las Vegas home. Nothing, believe me, except Pooh and ourselves, and a good portion of money that we had when we went there. And that's what you strive to do, believe me. The driving is a killer. And I got to tell you something, folks. All across this country, society is being reduced to the lowest level, the lowest common denominator, and that is sad. In fact, it's sickening. When you go to some place like Las Vegas and you go into one of the biggest, best casinos, restaurants, whatever you want to call it, you don't see people dressed anymore. You see people in tennis shoes, dirty socks that they haven't changed in 3 weeks, shorts, wearing a shirt with their shirt sleeves hanging out, and all kinds of weird stuff. It's like we have lost a lot of the good things that society used to require. It's not required anymore. Everybody looks like they just got up from their frumpy bed in a trailer park somewhere, didn't take a shower, and just threw on a bunch of dirty clothes and walked out the door. That's what they look like. I'm sorry if it insults you, but it's true. I wasn't reared that way, and I'm not rearing my daughter that way. So when we go to a nice restaurant to eat, regardless of how anybody else is dressed, we dress for dinner. And we display good manners. And Pooh also is expected to display good manners, which she does. And the rudeness, oh, is just amazing. People are extremely rude and in a hurry everywhere, especially in California. They got to get there. In fact, they're willing to die rather than be late. If they're going to be late at all, I think that's just the lifestyle there. They've got to go 500 million miles an hour, and heaven help you if you're in their way and you're doing the speed limit or anything close to it. I usually drive about 5 miles over the speed limit because I've learned in my life that you can get away with that. Most cops won't stop you and give you a ticket if you're doing that. But this trip, this vacation, I did the speed limit because I wasn't in a hurry. And I absolutely could not believe how upset everybody in the world got because I did the speed limit. Sorry, folks, I wasn't in a hurry. And wherever I could, I always pulled off the road and let people pass because we were really looking at everything. And when we felt like stopping, we stopped. We didn't have to be anywhere. It was marvelous. It was marvelous. I don't know how I'm going to get back in the swing here. I'm going to have to try somehow, and maybe I'll even succeed. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be an experience. Learning how to go back to work. So, anyway, I hope you'll all bear with me for a few days, because I haven't read any papers. I haven't listened to any radio shows. I don't know what's been happening on television. I don't know what's been going on in the news. And frankly, my dear Scarlett, during the last 2 weeks, I didn't give a damn. So, tonight we're going to open the phones. I'm going to let you guys tell me what's been going on, because I don't know. Don't go away. I'll be right back. And don't forget, folks, call Swiss America Trading. Get the new newsletter. It's always fantastic. And by the way, this upcoming issue of Veritas, which should have been out already, but isn't, because for some reason we can't go to press because the printers, presses are occupied with some big giant job, and it's going to be 2 weeks before we can get the paper out, but it's going to be worth it. This whole issue is about money, the history of money, specifically the money in the United States. We're printing pictures of the actual bills from the beginning right up to the present day, so you can see how it's changed you are going to be floored. Absolutely floored. But in the meantime, call Swiss America Trading and get your newsletter. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson wheat. Back in the saddle again. I'm riding the range once more. Toting my old 44. Where you sleep out every night and the only longest ride. Back in the saddle again. If we die, I-ho, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again. If we die, I-hey, I go my way. Back in the saddle again.
Well, for our new listeners and those who may have forgotten, the phone number is 520-337-2922. That's 520-337-2922. Need you to call me and catch me up. What's been going on? Because I'm telling you the truth, folks. I don't know. About vacation stuff, that's it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
So, Bill, you sound like you've traded in the fatigues for pink shorts.
Maybe I have. Maybe I have.
Well, let me tell you, Bill, to me, and you might understand what I'm saying. But to me, the most important news story internationally, no one has picked up on. But it's a great story. And it comes out of Warsaw, Poland. Hello?
I'm here. I haven't got the slightest idea what you're talking about.
I know you don't. No one's picked up on this, and it amazes me. But there's a parish priest for Lech Wałęsa, who is the president of Poland. You know, the priest in the parish he goes to.
Uh-huh.
He made the most astounding statement last Sunday. It was so astounding, it echoed off the walls of Rome. And this guy's in real trouble.
What did he say?
Here's what he said, Bill. Now, this a fantastic. Here's what he said. He stood up, and if you go to Mass, and you know how the preachers go through their sermons and they go to the Mass and so forth, and they have the eulogy where they say what they want to say.
Uh-huh.
He said, and Mike was there, the president of Poland was there at this Mass. He says, the Star of David, the Nazi swastika, and the sickle and hammer of Russia are all the same.
Can you document that?
Bill?
Yeah.
I'll prove it to you. I swear to God, I'll prove it to you. But what I would say to you, and because I've listened to Shortwave for the past 6 years,
mm-hmm.
and I've listened to you for the past 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
and I know you have the intelligence gathering to find that priest. Who said that? But I will prove that. I will fax. I will write to you. I will get that information. But I want you, if you could, with all the intelligence gathering you do, your capabilities, to find that priest and run that story. Because that is the most fantastic story. That just proves. And Bill, I know you don't like to talk about religion or anything.
No, I don't mind talking about religion.
But
I talk about religion occasionally on this broadcast. What I don't like is when somebody tries to shove their religion down everybody else's throat.
Well, I'm not trying to shove any religion down anyone's throat.
Okay, go for it.
But what I'm saying, Bill, is the greatest truths come from the grassroots. You just have to be aware of them. And I will do my best to prove that to you, and I will give it to you.
Good. Because if you really said it, we'll run it.
All right. I'll do that, Bill.
Okay.
But like I said, Bill, you sound too laid back. You sound too laid back. I know...
How am I supposed to sound after a two-week vacation?
Let me ask you this, Bill. Now, another thing that bothers me about what you said, you went into Yosemite. Isn't that a UN-controlled property now?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not a biosphere.
Oh, all right. Because I was sitting here listening to you, Bill, and I said, oh, man, that's a UN biosphere.
No, it's not.
Going in there, and I wasn't sure, but all right, okay, that was.
No. No, Yosemite is not a United Nations biosphere.
All right.
Didn't see biosphere or United Nations or any of those things anywhere.
All right, Bill. Well, you don't have the pink shorts on. I'll give you blue shorts.
Well, whatever kind of shorts I got, I'm wearing them.
I know. Bill, you got to get back into it. That's all I can say. And I'm going to get you that story. Because I think that is. That's a fantastic statement.
Well, not really. The swastika and the Star of David, which, by the way, was never the Star of David and was never the Seal of Solomon. The Seal of Solomon was actually a pentagram, my friend. And the Jewish people did not use the so-called Star of David until late in history, around the 16th century, I believe. It was 16th or 17th centuries when they began to use it. And it's a symbol of a star. It's also a symbol of the duality of the nature of what some people believe is what runs the universe. Positive, negative, male, female. It's also a symbol of the androgynous god, the pyramid above, the pyramid below. It's also a symbol of sexual intercourse, all kinds of things. It's a symbol of the bright morning star, which is the same thing that the swastika is. It's a symbol of the bright morning star.
But Phil, could I ask you...
The sun and their sun symbols.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
By relating all three of those symbols to the world in front of this so-called, I think probably a good man, Lech Walesa.
Lech Walesa is a communist. What do you mean, good man?
In the sense that...
He may be a good man, but he's a communist. And that's
right.
Anathematic to Americanism.
Right. I understand that. But for a common priest to stand there in front of that audience and make a statement like that...
Well, you're right. That's an incredible statement for someone to make. And I can't understand why the Anti-Defamation League isn't publishing a special report if he actually did it.
Well, they have, Bill. I mean, what's his name? Rabin over in Jerusalem. Ishak Rabin, he called him out. He said, oh, we can't. And Lech said, they all turned out. Rome called him. I mean, he's being censored and everything. It's a great story.
Well, if this really happened, I'll find out about it. But you help us out.
You look at
everything that you've got on it, and we'll start.
Bill, I'll do my best to get it to you, but will you look into it? Seriously, it's a great story.
If you do your part, I'll do my part.
Okay, Bill.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Good night. 5-2, I almost said 602, but it's not. It's 520-337-2922. I've been gone so long, I have to think about the phone number, folks. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. The guy that just called.
Yeah.
You can tell you've been on vacation. He really was on for quite a while. I think he was kind of out there. But...
Well, he may be.
Seeing there's an element of truth to it, and it was in the New York Times today.
Uh-huh.
It was... I don't know if it was his village priest or whatever, but he did say that there was an element that was similar. He didn't say that these things were exactly the same things or represented exactly the same thing. And the... The editorial comment of the article was that perhaps he has allowed, he hasn't commented on it, or he has allowed this to be spoken of or talked about by this priest, is because he's up for re-election. And of course, the idea of so-called anti-Semitism or whatever goes over big with the voters there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's something that they would like to hear.
Well, sure.
And really defend publicly, but he's not speaking out against the priest.
Uh-huh.
So it is an interesting comment, but
well,
I don't think it's quite as wild as...
Why would the world automatically assume that that's an anti-Semitic remark? He called attention to the meaning of the symbols.
Right.
Does that mean that it's an anti-Semitic?
That so-called or alleged anti-Semitic remark.
Okay.
But it was interesting that it was quite a large article in the Times. And in my mind, after the first caller, he made it sound like such a big deal, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought it was vaguely interesting.
Well,
it had a large article, and it went to a second page.
Uh-huh. Depending on exactly what he was trying to convey with that statement is going to depend upon whether it's an important remark or not. And we'll just have to see, because I didn't hear it. I don't know anything about it.
Well, I guess anything that happens in that part of the world, in Central Europe, is interesting right now anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of changes.
Yeah.
So take care. And try and hold on to that rest and spread it out a little. You're going to need it.
Oh, the world's not going to let me do that. I'll be back up here uptight in 3 nights. You wait.
Oh, it's just like anybody else. When they come back from vacation, everyone at work, you know, surprised. They're in a good mood, whistling, and a month later, things start getting on your nerves.
Yeah, well, you know, this is Grand Central Station here. Information from all over the world, and usually the worst kind of information, the kind that everybody spends the rest of their life ducking, is here all the time. And so I'm always confronted with that. So 2 weeks away from that kind of stuff is just, you know, it's like dying and going to heaven for me. So anyway, this isn't the best job in the world. Thanks for calling.
All right.
520-337-2922 is the number. By the way, we get some more developments on Oklahoma City, and when, you know, it takes a while to investigate this stuff, so we're not going to be publishing anything unless we absolutely can prove what we're saying. So just hang loose, folks. We have not given that up. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Brother Bear, and you better stop breaking wood and picking cotton.
No, that wasn't Brother Stare, folks. You know who that was? That was Little Poopy Diapers. Back in the saddle again. 520-337-2922. Somewhere out there, there's a mother chasing that little rascal so she can empty those diapers. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Bill. You do sound laid back.
Well, I am.
Oh, good for you.
I'm comfortable.
You'll be uptight again, I'm sure. By the way, that fellow was not some little poopy diapers. I think that was a member of Comrade Clinton's cabinet there.
Oh, could be.
That's the only way they have to get even with you anymore.
But those are all poopy diapers. I mean, they can't even get a security clearance.
Oh, absolutely.
They're still stuck in the Haight-Ashbury.
You know what? What I always found that was unique is if you looked at the row of faces that made up the communist Lenin's little Politburo the first time around.
Boy, you are right on the money. I know exactly what you're going to say.
You see all these little jerky-looking bozos, and then you look at the millions of people that they were responsible for killing before they finally ate themselves, you know?
Yep.
Oh, they're a mess. Well, let me bring you up to something. I, about 2 weeks ago, tuned into a TV network or cable network called USA Network, and I saw this troop of soldiers marching, and I looked and I said, well, they look like Slavic soldiers, and as they come up closer to view, there's this voiceover going on talking about the, you know, soldiers and the horrors of war and, you know, this evolution of being a soldier, I guess, something along that theme. But as they come up closer into view, you can see they're carrying AK-47s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the helmet outline was a lot different, you know, typical Soviet helmet outline. And you couldn't see anything on the helmets because they were kind of dirty and muddy looking. Well, just all at once, and I forget what kind of tripe the voiceover was saying right then, other than that today's soldiers are trained for a new mission, something like that. And right about that time, these guys drop all their AKs. And I guess it's raining or whatever. But
they just dropped them on the ground?
Yeah, just dropped them.
Those aren't soldiers.
Well, it gets better. they're not soldiers. It gets better.
I know a few sergeants would have kicked their butts from here to high water
for
something like that.
But they just dropped them. You know, they were doing that palm under the butt carry the way they do under the butt of the rifle, the way the Soviets do. And they just, you know, let them go. And it seemed like it was raining or something in this commercial, and it starts washing their helmets. They turn out to be blue, and they have UN on them. And then there's a little logo right at the bottom right of the television screen saying 50th anniversary of the United Nations. And I would love to get a copy of that commercial from somewhere.
Boy, I would too.
But it's a surreal thing, and I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. I was saying, what the heck?
That was on USA Network?
That was USA Network, sure enough.
I can get that with my satellite, so we might just be able to copy that.
I'll tell you, the date that it ran was...
you're going to see some weird stuff this year. I guarantee you you're going to see some weird stuff. Stuff that you never dreamed you'd see or hear in this country. You're going to hear this year.
Absolutely, and it's happening now. By the way, you missed the militia hearings if you've been incommunicado for 2 weeks.
Well, I knew that that was going to be bad because of who claimed to be representing the militia.
They didn't do real bad, but they didn't do as good as what could have been done.
Now, let me tell you something. I didn't listen to it. I didn't see it. I don't know what happened, but I bet I can give you a rundown. You want me to try?
Go for it, Bill.
I'll bet you that they got up there and talked about everything under the sun except the legality of the militia, citing the law, establishing the history and the precedent, the tradition of this country of the militia. I'll bet you anything that they cried and whined that nobody would listen to them and they were mistreated by the press. I'll bet you that the senators took the moral superior attitude that they were terrorists and that they were insulted, that they were being... accused of some kind of conspiracy or something, and I'll bet you all the other witnesses who weren't with some kind of militia or something cited every white supremacist group in the world as the reason why militias shouldn't be allowed to exist.
Well, you're real close with that. I didn't hear a whole lot of wall fighting or anything else on that, but as a matter of fact, we were talking, or not we, but I should say they were talking about whether... weather control and all other kinds of things rather than sticking to the issues. But there were several good parts, and one of those was Bob Fletcher, who read a quote by FBI Director Free when he was in Poland, and the basic gist of the quote was telling those people there that you know when you're coming into a police state because you start seeing your police using military equipment. And he managed to get that one in the record of it. It was all orchestrated by Senator Arlen Specter, who thinks he's going to run for president.
Oh, Specter! Single bullet theory Specter!
Got it. You got it.
Oh, yeah, he's a wacko. He is so far left of left that the communists won't associate with him.
I would believe it.
That's true.
He's one of their senators. They got rid of Wofford, of course.
Yeah.
But weren't both of those considered to be in the top 10 of the ADL recipients?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, especially Specter. Specter's big ADL man.
Yep, and absolutely who's pushing all the anti-militia stuff but the ADL.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's like birds of a feather starting to roost there. Some other interesting things that did come out of the hearing, and it needs to be cleared up, and I'm hoping that some of the listeners here will do it. Folks would be familiar with the... all in favor of gun control, raise your right hand poster and bumper stickers. Okay, that's put out by an organization called News for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership.
Right.
They're a good, honest, great group of people. And the main thing is that they're out to prove that gun control leads to genocide because it puts too much control in the hands of a government, and it's only a matter of time before a government goes bad and starts hunting down its citizens.
Yeah. You know, I said something I should. I said I never listened to the radio while I was gone. Well, that wasn't true. Today I did listen to the radio. I listened to Rush Limbaugh for about an hour, and then I flicked over to another station and listened to Lou Upton while we were driving. Lou Upton's out of Las Vegas. I don't know what the call sign of the station is, but Lou Upton read a history of gun control in nations where as soon as the government got the guns out of the hands of the people, they killed hundreds of thousands and millions of people. And usually minorities, Christians, ethnic groups, racial...
anybody groups. That they can focus hatred on, or anybody that's against them.
Right. And that's absolutely correct. And his rendition of that, his reading of that history was incredible. And I wish I had made a tape of that.
I'll tell you where you can get the best one of all. It's a book called Lethal Laws, and it's put out by JPFO.
Mm-hmm. We have that.
And I'll tell you, you know, that book there goes into every genocide.
Yeah.
They missed two because we've just had two recent ones, the ethnic cleansing in Bosnia.
Well, Lou Upton did such a good job on the radio today. I was really proud of him. I really was.
Everybody, you know, everybody needs to know that the result of gun control is oppression and slavery.
That's exactly right. And it never occurs unless that is the end agenda, the goal.
Absolutely. But back to the original was the anti-militia folks, which would be the ADL, etc., who then testified... one of them had a JPFO poster, and it's this poster shows all in favor of gun control, raise your right hand, and it's a photo or a drawing of Adolf Hitler in the old Sieg Heil position.
Uh-huh.
Well, they used that to say, see, these groups are anti-Semitic. And here the poster itself was put out by...
Who did that?
One of the people who was at the hearings testifying against militia.
And somebody out there who knows who that is, let me know.
I hope somebody would call in. But
I hope so, too, or write me or call tomorrow or something, because I'll roast that sucker.
Okay, I should have a tape of it before.
See,
long.
I'm already
I'll
getting
send it to you.
I'm already getting back in the swing.
Let's get some more
fire me up
out there. Hey, you take care.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
520-337-2922 is the number. And if any of you know who that was that held that poster up, knowing full well that it was put out by Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, and used that to cite the militias as being anti-Semitic, you let me know who that sucker was, because I'll roast him on the front page of Veritas magazine that goes to everybody in Washington, D.C. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening there, Bill. Welcome home from vacation.
Thank you.
Good to see you, hear you again. One interesting thing about those hearings, J.J. Johnson, the black militia leader from Ohio, they kept hammering him and all the others, just for your information, would there be any time when it'd be okay to blow up a federal building? And you know what he came back with?
What?
When you want to cover up the evidence.
That's right. That's wonderful. What'd they say then?
Nothing. You were dumbfounded. It was just beautiful.
Oh, that's incredible.
Fantastic. But you can get the whole tape of the whole proceedings, but it costs $105. But I won't go into all that. But
$105 is chicken feed.
Yeah, well, but anyway.
We have to crack $6,000 every month just to run this place.
Well, Bill, I understand how you needed the vacation. We have here in Michigan, the guys at work, you know, we're under pressure, and we have what we call smelt camp. It's a fish that runs here in the spring. You net it, although it hasn't been running very good, but that is not the reason why we go up there. We go up there just to loosen up and howl at the moon and let it all hang out.
Yeah, well, everybody's got to do that.
Yeah, you got to do it. And I'm glad you did it in your way. And welcome back, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Ah, nice calls tonight. Even the little poopy diaper wasn't bad. 520-337-2922. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Have to agree with some of the others. You definitely a lot more laid back. You seem considerably more tolerant than I've known you to be at other times.
Well, maybe I am. I just let it all go away, if you know what I mean.
Well, everybody needs that. I would like to share some information with you.
Sure, go ahead.
You may have find it of no significance. You may. A week ago last Friday, Paul Harvey, on his radio program, announced Paul Harvey Jr. on July the 4th would be a one-hour live broadcast titled Incident at Lexington Green. They indicated that it would take a War of the Worlds format type of thing of, oh my, looky here, the terrible militia against the great government. Yesterday...
Well, that's the position that King George took, I'll guarantee you.
Yes, sir. You'll get no argument here. yesterday on the both the programs, he indicated that that program had been canceled in Boston, that they considered it a threat to public safety. But he also said that ABC informed him that that program will air on or about July the 4th.
Well, there's some strange things concerning July the 4th this year, and I'm not going to go into it tonight, but I'll guarantee you're going to talk about it probably sometime next week.
No, sir, I didn't want to get you all started on tonight, but I did want to share that with you, knowing how they like to boast about things beforehand.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. No. Glad you're back. Good night. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Well, folks, that's about it. Bye. Really enjoyed this little chat with you tonight. Oh, you know what? The rumor's going to be going around now that they replaced me with a clone. I bet it's already on Ken Varden's American Patriot Fax Network. You want to bet? Well, for those of you out here who know that I'm really real, this is really me. Good night. It's nice to be back. God bless you all. And listen very closely to this.
You can make it big. You can make it bigger than life. Your name spelled right. Up on the bright side. Have a little faith in yourself. I know you're gonna make it big if you want to, if you really want to. We'll be right back.